Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 237. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, guys?
I'm not
going
to bark.
You're not going to? Wow, what a reply that was. Bark.
As from a previous conversation just before we turned the mics on.
Are you guys okay?
Doing good.
Okay.
Doing well. Some speculate that I'm not okay. <You're>
speculate.
Speculate.
Are you percolating over there or speculating?
Speculate.
That's hilarious.
Good. I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
Todd, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
It's too late now.
We are over here speculating.
No, I'm doing all right.
My brain's doing hitting speed bumps right now.
Oh. Yeah. We're going to be okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get each other through it.
Yeah, we'll support each other.
That's right.
That's all we can do.
Lift me up high.
You lift me up. Nope, I'm not. You're too big.
Nate has a wrist injury, and I can't barely get through the day without just being drained. Mm. Let's see. Sean, what about you?
I'm okay. I'm going to haunted houses. And
you're going to haunted houses for work.
And I'm having fun. Austin's like, hey, you need to give me these people's numbers. I bet. I probably do, actually, really.
Yeah.
So I went today and I left you guys two messages. I can almost like, and this is to be funny, but I'm sure you guys probably do have like, oh gosh, Sean's leaving us another voice message. What in the world is he telling us? But I was like, sorry to leave you guys a message, but I have to tell you, I was just in this haunted house because last week I told about a haunted house in Bargersville. So I went to Shelbyville and the nicest man, I won't give details on that kind of stuff, but, I may give enough details, unfortunately, that you can figure it out, but. So in downtown Shelbyville, this guy, he was telling me it's a huge home. He said it was the first that he knows of. It was the first brick home that was built in Shelbyville. And it was the 1835, it took them from 1835 to 1839 to fully construct this house.
Wow.
Three levels and a basement. And it's huge. I said, giants live in here? Like, was this a giant's home? Because it's just, you know how those old homes are just so spacious and open. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see those more in like the South. But it was just like humongous doorways and just like there's so much room. I'm sure the smells were like even, you know, antique. But he said, this was built by one of the bigwig businessmen back then in the 1800s, built this for his daughter as a wedding present.
It's
a wedding gift. He goes, what a wedding gift, right?
No kidding.
And I said, the fact is that like you can tell it looks so well kept, even in the kitchen just looks like you walked into your grandparents' old kitchen. And it is just so, everything is just old. And it's even got like the tin pan ceiling or whatever. And just so everything had a story, you know. And I was like, man, I told him, I said, you are a really good storyteller. So after I got to know, and this is my first time meeting him. And I asked him, I said, I don't mean to put you on the spot and don't take any offense to this, but as old as this house is and as all this history, because he had a collection of Hot Wheels and trains and all that kind of stuff. And he's a race car driver back when he was a kid and worked for Ford and all this stuff. Hmm. People are going to understand who this is. They're going to figure this out real quick. Like I said, if I give enough hints. But I said, is
AJ Foyt.
It is. Dang it. All right. You got me. So Mr. Foyt, I'm sorry. But I said, is it haunted? He goes, my wife thought it was. I said, oh, how long has she been gone? He goes, she died a year ago, October, this last October. I said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. He said, I've never seen or heard anything, which he can't hear very well. So if it goes, like, hey, I'm over here. But he, his wife, he said she swore she saw a ghost all the time and it freaked her out. Like, wow. She didn't like it. But he goes, nothing bothers me here, you know, so. Huh. It felt creepy, but it also felt historic. And so then the next house I went to, I'm telling this lady about this house I was just at, again, not giving her details, but just telling her fun stuff. And she said, oh, I love that. I lived in a haunted house. are you kidding me? You know, and then she's in Greenwood. She goes, yeah, I grew up in Southport, and we grew up in this house where this guy built it back in the who knows what. She said at the time, I think it was 100 years old when they had it, or they moved into it as when she was young, and she's, you know, pretty aged now. This guy had said he didn't ever want it to be sold away from the family, and they sold it out of, you know, after he died. And she said, I don't think he was very happy that they ever, you know, went against his wishes. She goes, I used to see him. And I told her, I said, yeah, we hear stories all the time. And I said, I've heard a bazillion stories. I said, you know, shadow people. And so she goes, that's what I saw. I saw shadow people too. So she said she had all kinds of stories. She's fascinating though. But I was like, I told her, I said, I could sit here and listen to you all day long. So, but
was there green mist?
No green mist under the door. Not that I know of.
No. Yeah.
So, but then she has a caregiver sitting there and the caregiver's just looking wide eyed. Like, what in the world is happening? I was like, it's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you tell him we had a podcast?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And I also told her about Greenwood Happy Haunts since she is a Greenwood. I've actually talked to her before. All the Greenwood residents, I tend to bring up our podcast as I can. And then I also, but Greenwood Happy Haunts, I do a lot.
Nice.
So.
Well, good.
Bringing up podcasts. You think
it should be first?
That's therapeutic, right?
It is a little bit. Well, you kind of get the vibe for certain people.
I've never brought up the podcast to anybody.
Like, oh, I know. Yeah. Hey, like, I got a card. Got a card for that.
I'm in the ER. Hey, I got a podcast.
Well, the guy in this old house, I had a feeling. I was like, this guy I can talk spooky with, I think. And he was okay with it.
Very cool.
Yeah. So you just never know.
Cool. No.
Yeah, look at me going out there in haunted houses and talking haunted and spooky
stuff.
Nice.
Nice.
And my day job.
Well, good. Yeah, that is cool, though. You never know what type of houses are out there.
Right.
And, you know, the history.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's pretty neat. I'd like to check it out.
It's weird to be in, like, three-level homes, too.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
I went on the outside when I left. You know, his family has a lock on the door, and, like, we have a code. But he actually had let me in because I was like, oh, it's unlocked, you know. And he said, yeah. And he said it hadn't been that long ago. He went to the door to unlock it because he knew I was coming. God bless his soul. He went back and sat in his chair, and he fell asleep. And I went in there, and I'm saying his name, and I don't like to, especially when I don't know somebody, I don't like to go in and, you know. And I went in there, and I just kind of touched him, you know, lightly, and spirit, like the spirit would probably. And he said, oh, I knew that was going to happen. He said, I knew as soon as I sat down, you know, it was just a little before lunch.
So you don't go into the kitchen and start snooping around for snacks?
Yeah, I know, right? I would do that. That would be me.
What's this guy got here?
You know, a fair amount of places, and they do have, like, families will keep cameras on them, which is fine. And, you know, normally I'll notice or kind of take note, or sometimes they put it in the notes that, like, you know, camera, you know, family cameras in and whatever. So it's okay by me. So.
Yeah. Very good. Sounds good. Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show.
This is spooky.
You done?
Spooky dookie, right? Spooky. Yeah, we're all done.
Hey. All right. Oh, yeah.
It's October, so.
Yeah.
Every time you go to the bathroom, it's spooky dookie.
You saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
that, crazy, that dog with that ugly smile. Like,
oh, yeah, that little
spooky
creepy.
Spooky dookie.
All right. Well, let's get to the first sponsorship.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creatured Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mike Campbell, for your sponsorship, Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
We
appreciate
love,
it.
We love him, and we appreciate it. You're right.
Mm-hmm. And Nate loves the product.
Don't we, Nate? Nate loves both.
I wish I could smell the product better, but yeah, my nose does not allow me. But what I can smell, it smells fantastic.
It's glorious.
Todd's going to leave.
And it looks glorious. Todd
is the only one at this table that can kind of go, I smell it.
Yeah.
Here,
yeah,
you can take a whiff.
That's all right. I'll take your word for it.
Yummy.
this has got awkward. Awkwarder.
Where is the show going already? I don't know.
Down the poop chute, right?
Cut the mics.
Creeped out.
That is true.
If you start,
it's a little weird.
If I start feeling somebody rubbing my leg.
Hey, night's just started.
Oh, man. This is where it's going. Oh, gosh.
Nate.
Sorry, creepies. Anyway, we do appreciate his sponsorship, so we do love him. We do love Micah.
We do.
So
he's hopefully we get him on the show here.
Yeah,
sometime. Yep, soon.
Yeah, we will reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new book coming out.
Yes, he does.
Ooh, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So the Micah Campbell story. Finally, is that what finally has been released?
Yep.
Thank God.
Yep.
Thank you, Micah. I want to know all the juicy details.
Myth and legend. That's
right. The man, the myth, the legend, Micah Campbell. Yeah, we'll get him on the show soon. That's for sure.
Are you going to say that with the Mike Tyson accent? Is that what you're going to do?
The man, the myth, the legend. No. All right. It is time for the best part of the show. That is the dad joke of the show.
I've been waiting
all
week
have.
For this.
Nate, I know you have. I know you have. Now, you know I've had two in a row that I've had people give me dad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it a third. Guess who I get to give credit and a shout out to for this one? Your sister, Miss Heather.
Oh, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be a good one then.
Well, I did reach out to her today, and I said, by the way, I am using your dad joke for tonight's show. And mm-hmm. she's like, oh, no.
Oh, please don't. She don't give her credit either, right?
Basically, she said, she didn't want me to.
You're like, so I'm going to definitely do it.
Yeah. She's like, oh, like good night. So, and I said, oh, yeah, you're getting credit for it. And she said, I was afraid of that. That's what she did say. So, anyway, this is for this is from Heather. What's the difference between black-eyed peas and chickpeas? The difference between black-eyed peas and chickpeas.
Black-eyed peas and chickpeas.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What's the difference?
This is tough. Black-eyed peas.
I should have chickpeas. Consulted my sister before.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I know it's going to be witty.
It's going to be something simple probably, right?
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
You guys give.
He goes, pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll give.
Creepies, do you give?
Heather doesn't give.
Black-eyed peas can sing us a song. Chickpeas can hum us one.
Oh, that's...
Yes, play on the words.
There you go.
Heather, that's absolutely ridiculous, which is what we do here.
Yeah. So credit to Heather.
Very good.
Sean's sister for that dad joke.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And
hummus.
That is...
I would not have gotten that. There's zero chance that I would have
gotten hummus
that.
A tune.
Hummus. I loved it. I thought it was great. So I'm like, of course I'll use it. Yeah, she wasn't crazy about me using it, but...
here it is, right?
She got it. Credit to Heather, and as always, you are welcome. How about that?
Fantastic. I like that one.
Yeah. That was good.
That was a good one.
You think she's going to listen to it? No. There's not a chance.
No, she won't.
There's more chance that she'll listen to it.
Has she ever listened to our show?
I think so, yeah. I think she. Okay. I know my mom has, and I think Heather did for a while.
Oh, okay.
I think she's fallen behind.
Fell off the bandwagon, maybe.
She's listened to more than
episodes behind.
Claire has ever listened, and we've dedicated entire segments and shows to her.
Claire's listened to a few, and that's...
He's been on.
Yeah, he's been on.
Claire's probably listened to more episodes than I have.
This is true.
Nate doesn't even listen to it.
He doesn't. Well, you know why?
I'm here.
Because he says, why would I listen to it? I've already done that.
The only reason I listen to them, and I don't listen to every single one, but I do listen to just to see, you know, what we could do better or if it sounds. I mean, I know it's going to sound good, but like.
Thank you.
What I mean, like, no.
He's got the trophy right there.
I know it's going to sound good.
Oh, wait, no, that's the beer trophy.
But like,
unless I mess up.
How did we do? How did we sound?
This is your sound engineering trophy.
That's right.
From Jimbo.
So I just try to, yeah, you know, a little. So far, so good. You know, I think we're doing okay.
So I spot listen just when I drop it to make sure that it's got the music on both sides and that things float okay. And then, yeah, that's about what I do. Or now I do, if there's like a lot of the guest chats, I'll tend to listen to.
Yeah, because I like to listen to this.
I got 3 trophies.
You have Dundee Award too. Yeah,
that's from Jimbo too.
Yeah.
What was that from? Or for?
I think that was at the Jill.
Because this one, you
got that one at the jail.
I thought that one was from the jail. But the Dundee Award might have been too.
No, I thought this one was from the, what? Didn't we do the Legion or the Firefighters?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that
one? I don't know. One or the other.
I don't remember either. Now, James,
the ears all blend together.
Old Jimbo would remember, but.
I'll have to look at it. I've got it on video.
I got this one first.
I think that one came at the jail, but I don't remember when the Dundee Award or if it came at the same time.
No,
because I know he didn't.
Harrison,
I
got this he gave first Harrison and we one. Did, he we, gave Harrison one. That was the when it was for Harrison saving me, but Harrison didn't make it because he had some sports thing that night.
Oh, that's right.
And so he couldn't come.
So that was the jail.
Yeah, that was the jail.
That's when I got this one.
Yeah, you're probably right then. Yeah. I don't know.
And then you got the
got this one at the
whatever
firefighter
American Legion,
when, whatever it was. Yeah,
cool.
No disrespect, I just don't remember.
It was Legion, yeah.
No disrespect at all. Well, Betsy had reached out too and said a couple of years ago when she was at our live show, our first
she
live
posted,
show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was really cool too. So shout out early to her.
Yeah, and that's because Mr. Micah bailed out. You know, I mean, his whole family got picture, COVID.
The picture she put on there though, she's sitting in Micah's seat. You know, what was supposed to be Micah's seat, which is hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. Just because his whole family got COVID doesn't mean he, you know, he still could have made it. I don't know what the problem was.
Wear a mask.
Oh, gosh. That's all we need. All right. That was the dad joke of the day. Mr. Sean.
Yes.
Do you have the first announcements?
Always. We come here every week for the guy time, the creepy, the paranormal, the fun and frivolity, right? But the most important thing that we do is to continue to create and maintain a mental health support group and community. So we want you to get help out there. So call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help.
Amen.
Right?
Yep. That's true.
Don't wait. You're important.
Yeah. And Nate wouldn't lie.
Reach out.
No, Nate would not lie.
He does not.
I don't lie.
You speak of the truth, right?
That's right. Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want our creepies to get help. No special announcements for us or for the creepies.
I need some help for that. We need some special announcements.
Yeah, we'll get one sometime.
I like that. Yeah, we will.
We will.
An investigation or live show
or
again.
Next live show.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Another year from now.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what? We're to the point where we're going to talk about a topic. What is it going to be, Sean?
Well, this is my fault. I mean, my pick. And it is the skull. It sounds like skull, like, your skull. But it's SCOLE, experiment. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Excellent. Skull experiment.
Had you guys ever heard of this?
No, I have not.
No.
I had not.
I hadn't either. And then I know I talked to you guys about... AJ Gentile on the Y-Files. Are you watching that much? Are you getting to listen to that very much?
I've listened to one.
I go through spurts. I mean, it's one of those, it's not my go-to, like I listen to it religiously, but there's when a new one drops, I'm like, ooh, I like that. Or if I go through, you know, I'm like, man, I just need something fun to listen to. I'll go to it. So I go to them probably a couple times a month or so, but this is... I was actually going through, William and I were watching a couple of these together, listening to them, because you can watch them on YouTube or listen to them just as a podcast. And this one came up, And I told William, I'm like, I don't know what this is. And so we watched it and he goes, you guys could totally talk about that on your podcast. That's really good. And so his full episode is like a half an hour about this, which is pretty good to consolidate all this stuff in. But
yeah, I watched it.
So the skull, it's good both ways, but the skull and experiment, this article says scientific proof of the afterlife or a hoax, which we will get down to the bottom of that. I guarantee we will. No, I don't think we will, but, have you ever heard of the skull experiment? If you haven't, then sit down and let us entertain you with a tale of paranormal and the questionable scientific method. Was it proof of the afterlife or a cunning ruse? Join us as we investigate this spine-tingling tale. So I'm totally plagiarizing that.
Spine-tingling.
Wolfenhaas down the, it looks like down the rabbit hole kind of article, which I love it. But yeah.
Oh, that's what it is reminding me of.
What's that?
The Scoville scale for hot peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Spelt a little different.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the scale that they like
rate
all the hot peppers.
Do you can so handle this which one's to, hotter than you can't handle this. To gotcha. This is going to kill you. You will die. You'll die if this
burn your those
ghost,
face off.
Those darn ghost peppers. Yeah. Peppers.
Huh.
So I didn't know that. The Carolina Reaper exceeds 2 million.
That's skulls, isn't that one that if you put on this table it'll start like
the, no.
You know that
ghost reaper
no the way. Acid will, I'm kidding the it, acid will like eat away say. At the table
no, that's aliens
it's like it's like a cartoon you know eats through the table and eats through the
I
floor
was like,
and
no way
eats to try to
get out of here
no
all right so yeah the skull experiment no I have never heard of it until you brought it up so it is quite interesting.
So, a little bit of background about it. Here's the thing is there's science to it. There's mysticism, there's mediums, there's just all kind of weirdness. There's, so the way the
possible magic,
afterlife, the afterlife is what got me. Cause I'm like, what in the world did they do experimentation for the afterlife? And it's very interesting the way this all came about.
It seems like they didn't leave any doors unopened. They tried anything and everything.
It lasted for 5 years.
Yeah.
Get answers.
93 to 98.
And we'll talk about like kind of how that ended. You know, it's like, why isn't it still going on? But so this says, scientists get weird with it. The skull experiment began in 1993 when a group of four friends in Norfolk, England, decided to explore the realm of spiritualism. The group consisting of Robin Foy, his wife, Sandra, and their friends Diana and Alan Bennett dubbed themselves the Skull Experiment Group and began holding weekly seances. So that doesn't sound very scientific, does it? In the small village of Skull. The mediums claim that during these seances, they were able to communicate with the dead, witness ectoplasmic apparitions, which is straight out of Ghostbusters, right? And even capture the images of these apparitions on film. Some or sounds pretty spooky, doesn't it? I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they got into this is there were paranormal accounts apparently that were happening. And so they honed in on this basement and they said at first nothing happened. They would just sit down there for hours at a time and just wait. And it was always in absolute darkness.
Yeah. Pitch black.
Pitch black. And they would talk softly and try to like ask questions and they would sing or hum and just try to create a positive atmosphere. And they said even when it was like tense, one of the guys would kind of like just joke and just kind of like, you know, get everybody kind of in a jovial and upbeat mood just to kind of get this started. And so it went on that way until they started actually getting communication back. It's, what is it? Transmediumship, basically mm-hmm. where spirits talk through a person. And that's where the couple that were the mediums, they said it was basically because of them. That's what really brought these spirits through. And these spirits claim to be, from the other side, the spirits that had passed away, some of them very famous and well-known, and some of them were like, it was like this collection of, you know, past spirits and what was it called? The Council of Many. Did you see that reference?
I can't remember.
So the Council of Many Minds, also referred to as the Team of Many Minds or Spirit Team, was a group of spirit communicators who made contact with the Skull Experiment Group during the paranormal investigations. This collective described as consisting of thousands of minds working in unison aim to provide tangible proof of the existence of other dimensions and life after death by creating physical phenomena that could be tested and verified. The group claimed these spirits influence atoms and molecules in the physical world through the power of thought from their perspective and respective realms.
Hmm. Yeah. I like how they called it. It says, deep underground beneath Foy's 17th century farmhouse in a cellar nicknamed the Skull Hole.
That's
what
funny,
they called it. They said, mm-hmm. Yeah, the couples began to hold seances in pitch darkness in order to contact spirits who would be able to help them provide scientifically literate public with proof that there was life after death. From February 95, they were joined by members of the Society for Psychical Research, who observed what was happening, and the sittings in Norfolk were later extended to include other experiments in Germany, Switzerland, Spain, the Netherlands, and California. Hundreds of hours were taped by Robin Foy. It said the evidence gathered at the seances was strangely compelling. The spirits which the four claim to have reached can seemingly be heard on the recordings, each with their own distinct voices, and at times apparently appearing from midair.
Isn't that wild?
So
they have a website, theskullexperiment.com.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it has tons of videos and different things. I'm on the little slide that's talking about the evidence. Basically, it's a picture, but everything's listed over top of the picture. It's like a table for a seance or whatnot. Some of the evidence, I guess, that they witnessed through the experiments is paranormal light shows, unexplained breezes, smells and aromas, raps and taps, paranormal writing on pad, freezing temperatures, water splashes, ringing bells, a feeling of love in the room.
Love is in the
just like here.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, it always feels like a big hug in here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Suffocating.
Stop rubbing my leg. Stop rubbing my leg.
That's Sean.
That's a lot hotter.
Scissors cutting someone's hair.
Mm. Oh.
Electrostatic crackling sounds.
Okay.
Camera self-leveling and clicking. Levitation of small and large objects. Mm-hmm. Self-illuminating solid visible objects. Spirit voices independent of mediums. Paranormal lights entering people's bodies for healing. This is apports, physical objects arriving from nowhere with a bang.
Yeah.
Whole and parts of spirit beings who moved around the room. Two-way voice conversations through amplifier of tape recorder. Professor Igor Grattan Guinness is quoted saying, I could feel a hand on mine and see it because of the lights. I felt around, but it wasn't attached to anything.
That's they also had, real quick.
Yeah.
Also, what I'm reading here is said they had materialization of cat and dog forms.
Yeah. Yep. That's
weird.
Okay. Weird. So yeah. They said that what would happen is that these spirits would want to send proof. And they had like scientific minds that came through. And like I said, some famous people that they were saying were trying to come through. But they would send, pebbles and stones and, you know, these jewel crystals, and some of the things would have like Latin sayings inscribed on it in such a fine, like so little that it would take the tiniest little tools to do that. And it came out of nowhere. They said that, so when the, the researchers came, you know, from the, what is that called? The, what was, we've talked about before, the paranormal group, basically the SPR, the Psychical Research, mm-hmm. the Society for Psychical Research. The three gentlemen that joined, are very scientific, and they mm-hmm. are, one of them was like a well-known skeptic. One of them was a, you know, like a high level engineer. And they came in there. They basically, their point was to shut this down. This is absolute garbage. You know, there's two mediums here. This is, you know, not scientific in any way. And they said, if anything, so what would happen, like that first time they came, they described it and said, they waited and waited, and they're like, of course, you know, we're here. And they said, okay, we'll do absolute darkness, no problem. and nothing happened. And then they said after some time, all of a sudden it started getting chill in the air. So the air temperature dropped. Then there were orbs and lights. And then, so the, one of the gentlemen could speak, he was German descent, and he started speaking German in his mind and asking questions. And with those questions, like draw a triangle, and the orb light would be a triangle. And then the other gentleman said, do figure eight, you know, and they draw figure eight, and they didn't tell anybody that. And these are the researchers. And then they said that he had a, there was a crystal that formed on the table. And so, one of the researchers said, I want to keep that. Can I keep it? And they said, absolutely. He's like, I want to test it. I want to see what it, you know, what it consists of. And as soon as he walked out of that basement, it was gone. Like he had it with him on his person. It was gone. And then they said, but he did, in place of that crystal that he was trying to keep, there was a little, what was it? I forget. I want to say like a knife or something that had an inscription that had his name on it. And he had not told anybody what his real first name was. Like, so like they would not have known what his first name was. Now, even back then, you know, it was before, you know, pre-internet and all that stuff, or it's not something, you know, I mean, could you do enough, you know, work to figure that out? But how, that's so intricate that this, oh, now I've got this little, like, you know, knickknack that the spirits gave me, basically. The other thing they did allow them to do, even though it was total darkness, they allowed the researchers to use infrared light. So they did get to see the environment through infrared.
And they used a luminous band, wristbands.
Yeah. So they said there's... The thing is, there's a lot of room for trickery, but those researchers wrote like a 600-page report, and it basically said that they cannot say that there was trickery going on and that they could not explain some of the things that happened, because one of the famous things that they would do is that they would bring in Polaroid film and Polaroid cameras, and the camera would levitate, and then these pictures would just develop. And there was nothing at first, and then they would develop, and nobody had taken a picture or done anything, but these spirits were supposedly, you know, and there would be writings or you know, objects and people, and then they would show, it would be pictures of the people in the room, and then there would be spirits around them. And it was just really, and they said, we don't know how to explain that. So then they would bring in their own film in sealed packages, so nobody tampered with them. It was brought by the researchers, and they said, even the film that we brought, this would happen to it. And so they had no idea what happened. The two, I believe it was the mediums that had been stage performers in magic. And so they, yes, they a lot been. Of people say, well, they were just doing elaborate trickery that mediums had done for years and years and years. But even the people that researched it from the SPR said, that would have been the most elaborate hoax to pull off for 5 years, and for people coming in and trying to say, this is bunk, and then saying, no, this, there's something going
well,
on.
Well, they always got, you know, asked, you know, why did you have to have it in pitch, you know, darkness? And
they said that's how the energy, you know, worked the best.
And all, and the other was, what was the other thing? It said, because it would interfere with the spirits,
magnetic resonance or whatever, basically the energy in the air.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing is when they started to hone in more about trying to figure it out. Convenient, and this is where a lot of the skeptical people say it's such BS, but they say that they're like, well, the spirits are now saying that, you know, because they were basically trying, they were not trying to deliver a message to the people doing the experiment. They were trying to bring a message to humanity that there's going to be an energy shift and they actually told future tellings, and they said that a lot of those future events actually did happen. Supposedly that's in all their records and everything. And some people say you can verify it, and some people say you can't. I don't know. You know, that could have been tampered with too. And then they said, but at that 5 year mark, they said, you know, we've done all we can. We're basically leaving it in your hands. We're here anytime you want. You know, we will be here. All you got to do is step through the door to communicate with us. But we're basically kind of out, and they were saying that there's some kind of a dark force that was starting to fight against them to be able to come through. Mm. And so basically it was like, okay, you guys have the information, you have the proof, we've given it to you for 5 years. This is a human decision, basically, to you know, evolve as human, as in human nature, and make good decisions and bring peace to the planet and raise your energy vibrations and all these things. And just fascinating though, like where in the world did this, I mean, it evolved from four people just kind of sitting around in a cellar, like, let's just kind of see what happens because there's been some paranormal activity down here. Mm-hmm. That to me is wild.
Yeah. If you, get a chance to go to the website, theskullexperiment.com, there are just videos upon videos and pictures. There's one. Yeah. They've gotten photographs of faces, however they were able to get these pictures. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they just snap a shot in the pitch darkness and these showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see faces in it. This one I'm looking at, I see distinctively one, two, three. Three faces I can make out really easily, and I'm sure there's others in there.
Mm-hmm.
They have non-human faces, so like a green Martian type face that they got pictures of in 98. It's just very interesting.
Did they talk about the in October of 93, a Churchill crown coin?
I saw that.
Landed on the table during a seance during so-called spirit team was contacted, which told the researchers that it consisted of thousands of minds working in unison to provide tangible proof of other dimensions. I'm like, what's
that coin?
Oh, and then it says, sorry. And it says, following the coin, group members saw dancing lights, heard the ringing of bells, saw objects hover in midair, and heard noisy crackling. In 94, they were sprinkled with water, as Nate said earlier. Yeah, that's crazy.
That coin was from 1944, and it was a World War II wartime origin.
Oh, okay.
That just dropped out of nowhere.
The Churchill crown.
The other interesting thing about one of the researchers is that it was he was asking questions about, like, his loved ones, and, you know, that had passed over, and they were able to tell in detail specific things about people, like he was communicating with his own relatives. And he was like, how would anybody know that? Like, how would somebody just be able to guess that? Yeah. And they were correct. Also, one of the researchers, I think multiple researchers went in there to try to debunk and figure out what was going on. And like I said, as far as I know, there was nobody, not anyone that could specifically, people from the outside could say, this is not happening. But one of the main researchers, original ones, he fervently and adamantly said that there was something to this. And he was at a debate or giving a speech when he was an old man, and to his dying day, literally that day when he was debating somebody, because somebody was basically trying to call him out and say he was part of this hoax and all this stuff. And he had a heart attack and died.
Yeah, he was so...
he was so impassioned. His blood pressure would have been up, and he was just ready to fight. But that was one of the skeptics. And it's like, wow, you know, that's pretty telling.
I found maybe an explanation of that picture I was describing. They have it again, but now on top of it, they're saying the 35mm unopened film roll photographs, which you mentioned a little bit about the film roll, and they're bringing their own stuff in because they're getting stuff on other rolls.
Mm-hmm.
They're wondering, how did communicators transmit a human face onto the unopened roll of film?
Right. And that's what my question is, like, that's how, and I mean, like, even to this day and age, I don't know how you couldn't take Polaroid film and do that I know of. I mean, unless there's something that, man, there's all kinds of things you can do, but that just seems like an elaborate hoax, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. It says,
and doing it for 5 years, that's kind of,
Yeah. And I mean, if there's ways of fooling people, I'm sure people could do it, but it seemed like the way that they started this, and like I said, people that are charlatans can, you know, they can lull people into I have good intentions. Oh, I want to bring peace to the world. And the other thing, they say that they made money off of this, but when I heard other videos that said they actually didn't make as much as, and they shied away from making more money. They could have made more money. They could have been a bigger deal.
I heard that because they wrote books and,
yeah,
you know.
But But another source said that they actually shied away from making very much money because they wanted it to be more about the work and not so much about like, okay. Lucrative. So I heard differing things too. I think AJ's video talked about it seemed like more it was lucrative for him, but another video said it was actually not. That's kind of skewed how much they made. It wasn't as much as they could have. This says, the Skull Group maintained the phenomenon were genuine and that the creative energy formed by the combined human, earth, and spirit energies of the group powered the events. The experiments reportedly ceased due to the group's belief, that their work had created a quote-unquote interdimensional doorway that attracted interference from future researchers, making communication increasingly difficult. So that's an interesting way to think of that. It's also very convenient, like, well, we've, you know, basically like shut this party down here. But then I also heard that it was like dark forces or demonic forces or whatever were attacking them or making it difficult to communicate. But whatever it was, it ended fairly abruptly.
Yeah. Says the phenomena reported attracted criticism, of course, from those who suggested that the group's insistence on complete darkness invited suspicion. But those that knew the group insisted on their honesty. So they did have people that, you know, stuck up for them. Having created what they called an interdimensional doorway, the group was dismayed when a group of experimenters from the future whose motives were not entirely benevolent caused an interference contrary to the strict laws of time and space. The group disbanded. In 2006, Diana and Alan Bennett began work on the Norfolk experiment. At the time, they said, we owed so much to those in the higher realms that we knew in our hearts that we would continue to experiment in one way or another. I have always seen in my mind's eye a phoenix rising from the ashes with renewed vigor to live through another cycle. The truth, as they say, is out there.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's almost 20 years ago, the second one.
Right.
Wow. So yeah, they... one of their experiments was to try to make contact trans-dimensionally with a germanium receptor device, a GRD. One thing that jumped out to me was first communication received. I guess during the session in January of 97... surprise, excitement, and even stun only go some way towards describing their first communication that they received. They're using the device. The first signs were present, crackles, clicks, and familiar white noise. So the anticipation was high as usual. Everyone was straining themselves to hear, almost banging heads as they lean toward or forward to get nearer to the loudspeaker. Then, with little warning, a faint voice is heard calling hello.
Yeah, not wild.
So you can imagine the excitement as this voice became louder. It was a man's voice, and yes, however he was, or whoever he was definitely trying to make himself heard. Hello, can you hear me? He kept repeating. He then continued to say the following, taken from the transcripts of the recorded session. Hello, my friends, can you hear me? I shall continue this transmission in the hope that you can hear me clearly. You understand, my friends, that we are experiencing some difficulties, but we feel sure that these will be overcome. However, we feel we have made considerable progress upon the last attempt to communicate with you. We have, for some time, been involved in an experimental communication system, and it is this system that we are using now. It is hoped that in the future, the system will enable us to communicate with those distant dimensions. And if all goes according to plan, you will be part of these experiments. I shall repeat myself and say, I do hope that you can hear this communication. We will stay here for a little longer. Please be alert. The communication then paused for a short time, then continued, becoming clearer. Sometime in the near future, There will be many attempts made to communicate with you in this way. There are many people here who feel as I do, that this work is of the utmost importance to mankind, and therefore are willing to put their hearts into these experiments. Thank you, my dear friends. Thank you for cooperating with us and giving us this moment of your time. May peace be with all of you. God bless you. The communication then ended after lasting approximately 20 minutes.
I really thought you were, wow. I thought you were going to say, they paused and then they said, we have been trying to reach you about your refinance on your mortgage.
Student loans.
Student loans.
So insurance, yeah. I don't know if, and I don't follow a lot of it, but every once in a while I'll see like, mediums on, or, there's mediums and then there's, what do they call them? Chandlers.
Smalls.
Largest. Chandlers. Oh, right, sorry. Exactly. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Text size. No.
Mediums.
Chandlers. And so, and they'll be out there and they'll talk about like this collective whatever that they're trying to channel through. And it's, you know, a lot of times you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. There's a lady, and she keeps showing up on TikTok. I don't look for this stuff, but just comes and she does dowsing rods and she asks it questions and like of modern things. And it's yes and no. If it goes in towards her, it's a yes. And if it goes away from her, it's a no. And I don't know. I look at it and it's entertaining, but I'm like, is she not just like flicking it with her fingers? You know, it doesn't look like they are. And I don't know, you know, I've not done dowsing rods. I've heard people swear by them. And oh, so I'm not.
A lot of people use them.
I think it's interesting. I should probably try it, you know, and where it's like, what is, you know, what's moving? If I'm not moving it, because I would not be moving it, I would want to see it move. But it just looks so convenient that it's like, oh, yeah, that's the answer I want. Oh, that's the answer I want. Oh, that's the answer.
I would love to try to use them.
I would too, honestly. And so I'm not like debunking them. I'm just saying that they, I just look at it and I think, how do I know she's not? I don't know the lady.
Even if you're not trying to do it on purpose, mm-hmm. kind of like the Ouija board.
Yeah.
You're not.
And how come one goes one way and one doesn't go the other? It's supposed to be very definitive one way or the other. And I think that's a little, I don't know, but it's interesting to me. But
maybe we should buy some and
yes,
we'll just try it on our next.
They'll just sit there and like, not doing it right. I do find it interesting in all of this that, so in science, some of these, the people that try to come at this, and I heard a guy who's one of the scientist researchers said, it's silly that people come at it with a scientific viewpoint saying, you know, our science is the only thing that can prove or disprove this. And he's like, I'm a scientist and that's ridiculous because we're still always constantly learning. We don't have all the scientific principles figured out. We don't even know what we don't know, like we've said.
Yeah.
And he said, so that's preposterous to say, well, if we can't measure it with our standards and scientific research, then this is, you know, made up. And he's like, you know, we really have to consider these things. The other thing is so many different scientific minds, even some of our greatest scientists, that they really did look into, I mean, look at Sir Isaac Newton, alchemy. I mean, he was the biggest scientist to alchemy and alchemy, the principles of alchemy. Einstein was interested in, you know, obviously all things in the universe, but afterlife came to him, aliens and all the things. You know,
look at Tesla.
Tesla was a big one. Mm-hmm. Edison and Tesla, they say, was trying to make the ghost box, and these are not, minds are like, oh, come on, you know, Tesla always gets a lot of shade, you know, it's the pigeon thing, but, the love of pigeons, right? But it's interesting that these scientific minds thought that way. So the fact that these guys sat down and like, let's look at it from a completely different perspective. And they say, well, why didn't this happen in a lab? Well, a lab may not have been haunted, you know, like you got to bring that stuff there. So then you have to get a tulpa and all that kind of stuff. So
there you go.
I think this is interesting. So this, that I'm stealing from the Wolfenhaus article, which I think is written really well, but they talk about the verdict. So what can we conclude from all this? Was the skull experiment proof of the afterlife or an elaborate hoax? Well, it's difficult to say for sure. While there is certainly evidence to suggest that the mediums were not entirely truthful, there are also those who believe that the phenomena witnessed during the experiment was genuine. What we do know is that it captured the imaginations of many and remains a subject of debate and fascination to this day. Perhaps the mediums genuinely believed that they were communicating with the dead, but were unwittingly producing the phenomenon themselves. Or perhaps they were dirty fakers, little tricksters.
Dirty fakers. Look,
that's what it says. Looking to make a quick buck off a couple of rubes, or a lot of rubes, right? It says, in the end, whether the skull experiment was scientific proof of the afterlife or an elaborate hoax, one thing is for sure. It's a fascinating story that will continue to intrigue and captivate us for years to come. So sit back, relax, and let your imagination run wild. After all, isn't that what the paranormal is all about?
That's
and
right.
Amen, it is.
That is right.
Right?
Yep.
So I thought this was so interesting. What'd you think, Nate? Because I know you did all the research just now.
Oh yeah.
which is when you do your best.
It's crazy. I mean, it's very intriguing. Yes.
Wild.
I mean, the afterlife and what happens after we pass on is always a big question mark. I don't know if we're any closer today to any answers as we were 100 years ago, but yeah. it's one of those uncharted territories that everybody is always trying to find answers for.
Well, we talked.
So it's interesting. I mean, they're trying. I mean,
we said early on they
tried
early on the podcast. We had mentioned like, well, we'll talk about the afterlife, but we're like, how do we talk about that? But when I came across this, I'm like, this is a great way to talk about the afterlife. Mm-hmm. You know, just and like I said, we're not coming up with, you know, oh, this is absolutely what it is. Although we all have our beliefs. I have beliefs. I have experiences.
Well,
too.
That's what I would say. As a believer, I believe in the afterlife. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. You either go to one or the other.
Yeah.
Now, scientifically. To prove that's what this to me is about.
Yeah.
How to, you know, I don't need a scientist to prove to me that it's because I'm just I'm a believer and somebody that's agnostic.
You need the dowsing rods, right?
Yeah, or an atheist. They
right.
They believe otherwise, and that's fine too. But I found this fascinating just because this is more of the they were doing the experiments and trying to
prove
that there is an afterlife.
Like we use all the time, we don't know what we don't know. Our eyes only recept a certain spectrum of light.
Yeah. Very small,
there's
scheme of
a
things.
Wide spectrum that we cannot detect or see.
Right.
I mean, now we've developed some technologies to help us see some of this stuff, but I'm almost certain there's even more spectrums that are non-existent to us at this point. So, I mean, there's tons of unanswered questions right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also, we pointed out the animals coming through too. And I thought that was very interesting.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in an interesting way, just weird, like what? Cats and dogs.
Right.
Yeah. I have this.
They've come up before in our stories.
And it's funny how.
Bark, bark.
Like you have a full spectrum, using that word again, of some people absolutely believe in what they're doing, and other people are like, oh, it's all rubbish. Like this little document that someone wrote up talking about the red flags of the experiment, just going through like their first red flag, talking about the venue where they're in a basement in a house in Skull with two mediums. And then they just sort of, there wasn't like any like scientific controls.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're trying to say. Well, there's your first red flags. You're not really controlling the situation and doing a true experiment.
Mm-hmm. Kind of winging it.
Yeah. And they're saying like, you know, the next red flag is, you know, having seances in complete darkness and refusal to have any night mode cameras or anything like that. So it's like, you know, what are you hiding type thing.
I think it was interesting that they did allow infrared. So that I thought that was.
I think they finally decided to let them finally do that.
Yeah.
But then he's saying the third red flag, there's been no follow-up. If amazing phenomenon truly did happen at the Skull Experiment, it would have changed the world. Mainstream psychologists and other academics would have gotten in on it. It would have made world headlines, worldwide headlines, and it would be repeated in labs everywhere and become mainstream science. They did have the opportunity. Experimental psychologist and author Richard Wiseman provided secure envelopes for the film rolls to the experimenters, within which film always failed to be exposed. Rather than coming away impressed and spreading the word, Wiseman summed it up to me in 6 words. It was a load of rubbish.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. Well, there you go.
I thought you were going to say a load of something else. You know, this reminds me of the Philip experiment, where people got together and tried to conjure up, you know.
The tulpa.
Yep. It kind of reminds me of that. So.
Yeah.
Anything else on the skull experiment?
No, that was my question. What you're talking about there is like, why aren't we still talking about it? Yeah. If there's something to it, and why, you know, if it was brushed under the rug, why? You know, I mean, like I said, I've never heard of anything until this year that, like I said, when I heard it on the Wi Fi.
I mean, yeah, I mean, anything, never heard of anything it. New. If you're gaining ground and getting answers and getting proof,
the future researchers, it was
there's
their
no
fault.
Stop to it.
Yeah, it should be snowballing and Yeah. More efforts should be going into it.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. I know that's where it's just, yeah, I'm, like I said, I don't think we're going to get down to the, you know, like what really is the truth of it, but I don't know what, and
we'll all find out.
We personally,
that's right. That's the cool
part. Yeah.
One day everybody's going to find out.
Let's start doing our own experiments. Let me turn the lights off.
Hold hands. Nah, you just wanted to rub my leg again.
No holding hands, John. No, that's Jeez, oh, Pete. All right. That was good. That was an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very good.
All we're doing is scratching the surface on this. I mean, you could go down an enormous rabbit hole with all this stuff.
Yeah, so, true. You know, at least watch a reel if you're interested, because they're short and they'll give you some info. But, man, if you want to, watch the Y-Files episode on it.
That's the simplest one, I think.
I like it a lot.
Just because it's not too long and it's...
It's perfect. It's, like half an hour is just right around. And then
he tells it pretty well.
Yeah, because I watched some other videos and they were good. And like I said, I got some good information from him, but I think he did. Yeah, he did.
There's some that are like hour and a half long.
I'm I don't need all that. Documentaries and things. No, I'm good.
Too long.
Exactly. But yeah, so it is interesting. It really is. But so you guys said I don't do weird enough. So was this weird enough?
This is weird. It was creepy. Weird.
I made that weird.
Wild. Wacky. Wild stuff.
All the things.
Wild stuff.
That's right.
Nate, what do you think Sean's going to pull out on us this week? What do you think?
Middle-aged moment.
I'm going with moment too. Yeah.
So you guys are going to love this, number one. And
I was going to say dark side, but I'll stick with moment.
It's a dark side. But you're going to love this. No, you're going to love it. I promise. This is Ozzy. See you on the other side.
Oh, geez.
So Ozzy got it. I sent you guys that documentary on that they made of him, which, I listened to throughout the day at work, and it was so good today. So it was
put together. I don't think he works, Nate.
I do.
He sits in parking lots.
He sends videos
all day long.
You should watch Man Life 360. And like, he hasn't moved for 3 hours. What's he doing? His watch has told him to stand 25 times. No, I get a lot of, I got to listen to something. And so I listen to podcasts and that's what I get to listen to. But anyway, so it was good though. So see you on the other side, Ozzy Osbourne. Voices, 1,000 voices whispering. The time has passed for choices. Golden days are passing over. Yeah. I can't seem to see you, baby, although my eyes are open wide. But I know I'll see you once more. When I see you, I'll see you on the other side. Yes, I'll see you. I'll see you on the other side. Leaving. I hate to see, I picked this one for the word hate too, to see you cry, grieving, I hate to say goodbye, dust and ash forever, yeah. Though I know we must be parted, as sure as stars are in the sky, I'm going to see you when it comes to glory, and I'll see you on the other side. Guitar solo, I'll let Nate plug that in later. Never thought I'd feel like this, strange to be alone, but we'll be together, carved in stone, carved in stone. Carved in stone. And then it goes on. I mean, there's quite a bit more to it, but, you know, hold me tight. Blah, blah, blah. But I'll see you on the other side.
Nice.
I thought it was perfect, which I love that too, since Ozzy passed away not too long ago. It's a wonderful song. It is just one of those that you feel, you know, the Oz man, he does come as
the very unique, Ozzy Osbourne.
But I thought this was, yeah.
That's a way to put
right?
it.
Right? He really is. He's a genius, you know. But I thought this was perfect for the afterlife discussion.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Very nice. Very good. Mm-hmm. I was going to go with Dark Side, and I thought, no.
I did too, but then I was like,
I keep tricking you, but I don't mean to trick you guys.
I've been on a bad streak lately.
I don't mean to. You listen to him. No, it's good. And he's like, shut up.
It always reminds me of National Lampoon's when they go to the sort of like the sideshow Vegas or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, pick a number.
That Vegas vacation.
Yeah, I've only seen that one. I can't remember anything about it.
He's like sitting there trying to read the guy's face. 7. 9. You lose.
That's funny. Yeah, I've only seen that one time, and it was, I didn't like it much. So I can't remember.
Yeah, it's not classic like Christmas Vacation.
No, mm-hmm. No, no.
Or Vacation.
Or Vacation,
Even European was
European
better.
European wasn't bad.
It was okay. It wasn't great, but it was, a little better than the
Vacation. Yeah, another thing is when Eddie takes him to the all-you-can-eat buffet, and Clark goes to grab a plate, he's like,
I do remember
that. We only need one plate, Clark. It's all you can eat.
That's all you can eat. I do remember that. I don't know why I remember that scene. All right. Well, thank you, Sean, for your middle-aged dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Shout-outs. Sean, any shout-outs this week?
I do not. Just all the spirits that are in these houses that I keep going to. Shout-out to the spirits.
Okay. All right.
Hmm. My sister, apparently, for for the joke.
Yeah. Well, I'll give her a shout out.
Oh, okay.
I already did that.
You kind of did, didn't you?
Yeah, I gave her a shout out credit.
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that you guys expect me to give shout outs.
We actually don't.
You don't have to.
Right. No, nothing's really coming to me.
All right. Yeah, you don't have to have a shout out. I don't have any shout outs either.
Wow, shoutless.
Well, I can make up one. I gave him a shout out last week. I'll do it again. Elijah, he played in his first football game.
Nice. How did that go?
Since it was his first one, they didn't have him play defense. Mm-hmm. He kicked off three times. And the second one, he kicked over their heads.
Nice.
Yeah. So I guess because he played soccer, they had him kick.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And he played special teams, though, on offense, on receiving. So he got to hit some, block hit some people. And so even when he's on the bus, I just told him, I said, I'm proud of you. Good job kicking and, blocking. And I said, and he goes, next week I should be playing defense. So he's hoping that this week he can actually play inside linebacker. So
that's awesome.
Where he can really hit some people.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So anyway, shout out to him for playing. Yeah,
that was Pat McAfee's background with soccer.
Oh, it wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I think that's correct. Yep. I think you're right about that, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of soccer players do kick. So anyway. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't have any other shout outs other than that. I can't. Shout out to just two more days of being the week over with. Oh, my gosh. It's dragging.
You mentioned
dragging.
Pat McAfee, when he comes on the show, he could just tell us, right?
I mean, no,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He likes Paranormal, right? We'll have Pat. We'll have Dan Aykroyd. We'll have
right.
Jeez. Rob Zombie.
Round Table.
Yeah, Rob Zombie. Oh, gosh.
It's on our list.
Okay. So let's get to the second sponsorship, shall we? Hey, Creepies. Do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Scott and Corey, and Greenwood Happy Haunts for your sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
We love them, too. Right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right, Nate?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, we do.
That's not as convincing as the Micah Campbell
one. I got threats.
Yeah. From who? I don't want to know.
Man.
Might have been from us.
Yeah.
Be nice to Scott and Corey. They're nice people. They're good people.
Well, he's locked eyes with Micah, so that's why.
It's debatable.
It's hard.
Still debatable. Man. Not this again. We thought we had him convinced.
Many moons ago.
All right, I guess. Mm. Yeah, we love their story. We love them. Just mm-hmm. as
we do.
We love them more, but their store is awesome. So
very, very fun store.
Yes, as I burp. not in the mic though. Well, thank you, Scott and Corey, again for your sponsorship. We appreciate it. Moving on to second announcements. Sean, you have those, please, sir?
I most certainly do. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And most, not just the last thing, but one of the most important things, we sell all kinds of awesome merch. So go get you some.
Go get you some. That's right. Absolutely.
That's right. Get it.
I want to spotlight that.
Be the cool person in your family, right. In your friendship circle, whatever. They'll say, what is that? Oh, it's a Middle Asian Creep Out sweatshirt.
T-shirt. I want to get a bleacher seat.
It's a conversation starter.
Oh, yeah.
A bleacher seat with our logo on it.
That would be cool.
Right.
That would be cool.
I want it on the back, not the seat, because I think I don't want to sit on us.
Speaking of that,
what?
So Saturday at the football game, mm-hmm. I was the second one there on our side, and I did not realize that I just didn't think about the condensation that would be on
did
the
sit
bleachers.
On the wet?
I had to sit on mm-hmm. the wet, yes. Yeah. But good thing I had windbreakers on, so it didn't. It wasn't like jeans where it just soaked it
uh-huh.
in.
Yeah.
And so by the time it was halftime, it dried. But, yeah, this time I've got my my seat cushion ready to go for Saturday.
Nice.
But that would be cool to have a Mako seat mm-hmm. cushion. Yeah, or bleacher
right
seat, whatever you call it. Yeah. Well, I'll look into that. See what we can do.
I want a big number one.
Oh, you want that?
Oh, it's a Mako.
Mako's number one.
Number one.
We're number one. Yeah.
And a big cowboy hat. Foam cowboy hat. Yeah.
Man, I'm like Dumb and Dumber.
We can wear
the dummy.
We'll
the dummy.
We'll wear those at the next live show.
That's
we'll pass
real,
them
yeah.
out. We'll pass them out. Oh my gosh, that Nate, that's don't good you. Stuff. That is that makes me laugh.
It makes me think of don't you go dying on me.
By the way, I did price dowsing rods on Amazon.
Yeah,
$15.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So. We can get some.
I can make some co-hangers.
So I know, that's what I said.
This is just to be funny, but what if we get three sets and we all ask the same question and see what happens? Like, do you think we get all the same answers or you get different answers?
Who knows?
I wonder how that works, but it's a weird question.
We got to go on an investigation to try them out.
That's right.
Got to schedule something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
That's right.
Tell you.
So much to do.
I know.
So little time.
I know. Well, Nate, help us out, brother. What you have for us?
I like school. That's a wrap.
Wow.
Austin Powers. Throwback there. Gold member.
Oh, that one.
I like gold.
That's so funny.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, that's
keep that for later.
Oh, gosh. I just wanted to.
Whoever, the round table that thought that was a good idea, I was like, oh, my gosh.
Like when he's on roller skating.
Yes.
Pulls his legs straight.
Mike Myers at his
both of them.
Yeah,
both
of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he does do both of them. That's hilarious.
All right. Well, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 237 and our discussion on the Skull Experiment. Until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.